Okie doke. So, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Bethel Assembly this morning. Can I just tell you, it is so good to be back with you guys this morning. Yeah, I'll just tell you. How about, didn't Cole do a great job last week filling in? Come on, put your hands together, give him a little love. He was filled in for me on last minute's notice. I tell you, the Lord's dealt with me with my pride. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like last week, just in case you don't know, in case you weren't like, man, I had the kidney stones. That just feels old saying that. You know what I mean? I just feel like an old man. But like I just got up last Tuesday morning. It was 55 degrees. I built me a fire on the back porch back there, and I made me a pot of coffee, and the kidney stones hit, and I was down for the count, boy. Just so sick, I was throwing up. Jennifer took me to the ER, and I laid around for 6 days with them things, man. And so here's the deal. Come January, I will have been pastor here at Bethel for 24 years. And here's the deal. For 23 years and 9 months, I never missed a service that I was scheduled to preach at. I had busted eardrums, teeth knocked out, broken ribs. I had surgery. I was castrated at one time. I had broken legs. I had concussions. I had all these things. And I never, ever missed a service. And one little bitty 4-millimeter little stone locked me down for 7 days. I missed preaching at Guthrie. I missed preaching it here. And so the Lord was really dealing with me over my pride. I said, Lord, but it's been 23 years and 9 months. And he said, proof that it's pride, because you know how many years and how many months it's been since you didn't preach. And so sometimes the Lord does those things. How many know all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, that those that are called according to his purposes? So anyway, thank you for your prayers. I do know this. I know last Sunday, as Cole led the services, y'all prayed for me all three services. You prayed at 8, 9:30, and 11 o'clock, prayed for the Lord to deliver me. I'm going to tell you, I was locked down for a week, and last Sunday afternoon, everything passed. I was released, and I was delivered, and you will never, ever make me believe that it wasn't the power of the corporate prayer of the body of Christ coming together in unity and praying together. I know you can pray by yourself. I know we can pray at our homes, but when everybody comes together, red, yellow, black, and white, male, female, married, divorced, single, when we come together with different areas of our life, but we come under the blood of Jesus and we unify and call on the name that is above all names, God begins to move and do miracles in that place. So, having said that, let's take a minute, because I just had someone share with me, hey, this friend of ours needs prayer today. So you know what? Because you prayed for me and the Lord delivered me, I want to take out just a minute of our scheduled service and divert away from our church program. And let's just pray for a minute. Can we do that? How many of you know someone that needs to be touched by God today? How many of you, maybe it's you. Let's just take a moment. Let's bow our heads and let's agree in prayer. Father, you are such a good God. And we thank you, God, that you are not on a time schedule. We thank you that you never sleep and that you never slumber. We thank you that in the middle of a church service, your ear is attentive unto our cry. And so today, Lord, we just unify together and we cry out to you, Lord. You know the needs in this room. You know the needs in this area and in our community. And so we just ask you, God, to do what only you can do. Lord, we're excited about church and we're excited about worship and we're excited about a great word from you. But more than that, God, we just need to see you do what you do. We need you to move in a miraculous way to touch, heal, deliver, save, redeem. Do what you do, Lord. We love you and we'll give you the glory for all of it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, put your hands together and give the Lord just a little bit of love. We're in our third week of our fall series. Our fall series is entitled The Bethel Orchard, where we want to become a church that is an orchard where every tree in that orchard produces fruit. We don't want to just be believers. We don't want to just be people that show up at church. We don't want to just be people that say we're born again. We want to be mature. We want to be disciples. We want to grow up. We're not just little saplings, but we're trees, and we're producing fruit. How many of you know we need to be producing fruit in our lives every day and every moment? See, I'm married to Tubby, and Tubby is not as sweet as you think she is up here playing this fiddle. I'm just saying. Tubby has her days. I'm joking. I'm teasing. Tubby has her days when she's not on point, and she needs me to be a tree that is producing fruit. And when she has no peace and when she has no joy, I need to be the tree where she can come and pick the joy and the peace, and it would enhance her life. There's days that I don't act like I act on Sunday morning. Sometimes I get angry, and sometimes I'm pushy, and I want to fix stuff, and I need to be able to go to Jennifer and partake of the fruit, the spiritual fruit in her life, and we're all working together in this iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I got three kids, and they're good kids, but they're knuckleheads, they're Cochrans, and they're Langstons, and the Cochrans are hot-headed, and the Langstons are hard-headed, and sometimes that cross is not real good, and they're growing up, and they're 23, and they're 20, and they're 13, and they're at these seasons in their life where there's temptations, and there's struggles, and there's trials, and they need to be able to come home to mom and dad and partake of the fruit of God in our life and enhance their life. You and I need to be producing fruit everywhere we go in order to glorify God and to enhance the lives of those around us. Yeah, I'm preaching the paint off the walls already. They're talking about fruit. So let me ask you a question talking about fruit. How many of you love after a meal having a good dessert? Come on, somebody. Like a good dessert. I know you sugar burners. I watch you. I know you're addicted to sugar. You know, apple pie, some people love apple pie. American apple pie. Some people, grandmama had this pound cake recipe, and I love this pound cake. For some of you, it's chocolate meringue pie. Can I tell you about me for my dessert? Peach cobbler. Come on, somebody. Like, that's Texas. No, that's West Texas right there. Peach cobbler, fresh peaches. From the orchard, fresh peaches from the backyard with crust, and that crust is, you know, what I'm talking about, crisscross, look like a lattice. Come on, somebody. Cinnamon and sugar sprinkled on top, some butter, and you cook it, and then you cover it with some homemade ice cream. Woo, Lord Jesus. For me, it's peach cobbler. Kay Hager has been my secretary for like 39 years. I don't know how long. She loves my peach cobbler, and every year when her birthday comes around, I make her a peach cobbler. That's what she wants. That's all she wants. And she actually says to me, she goes, "You know what I love the best about your peach cobbler? It's the crust." And I swell with pride just a little because my crust is good, y'all. But although she loves my crust, and although my crust is good, I got to ask you a question. What is peach cobbler without the peaches? What is peach cobbler without the peaches? Can I tell you what it is? It's dough. It's dough. It's butter, flour, a little water. It's dough. That's it. What makes the dough and what makes the crust so good when it comes to peach cobbler is the peaches are in the bottom of the pan and the crust is laid on the top, and when it gets hot, it bubbles up and the juices and the sweetness and the sugar from the peaches rise up and they enhance the crust, and that's what makes that crust so good. But without peaches, peach cobbler is just dry and crusty dough. Much like Christianity, without producing fruit, will become dry and crusty. Much like Christianity. I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm not saying that I'm not saved. But I'm saying this, if we're born again today, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, if we have been redeemed, if we have been forgiven, if we have been given a new heart, if God has picked us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on the rock to stay, if God has done anything in our life, you and I have got to be producing fruit. And if we don't produce fruit, we will pray because we feel obligated to pray. We will show up at church because grandmother told us to do it. We'll read the Bible out of duty, and we will become dry and crusty in every area of our life. We'll become dry. We need to be producing fruit. It's God's will for you and I. But I want you to understand something. I want us to take a time out here. This whole series is about fruit. And if you're a believer in Christ, you should be producing fruit. But we have to take a time out and we got to explain something right here. It's God's will for us to produce fruit, and it's our responsibility to cultivate our lives so that we can produce fruit. But I need you to understand something right here. We are not saved by our fruit or by our works. Because we get it jacked up. We get it jacked up and we say this: if I could just produce enough fruit, God would love me and God would forgive me and I would be saved and I'd be a great guy. If I get my life cleaned up, then I will go to God and God will accept me. If I could just pray a little bit longer, if I could just read my Bible a little bit more, if I could just do some more good works, or if I could just preach a little bit more, if I can produce some fruit, then I'll be okay with God and God will save me. Time out, y'all. We're not saved by works or by fruit. Once we are saved, once we have accepted the work of Jesus Christ and the redemptive work that he did on Calvary Hill and we're born again, then our producing fruit should be a byproduct of our eternal salvation. But it's not our works, because how many of you know we're saved by grace, y'all? How many thank God for grace? I receive that grace really good, but sometimes I don't give that grace a whole lot. Can I get a witness? None of you raised your hand, but all of you looked at your neighbor like, mm-hmm. Grace, it's this gift. It's a gift given to us that we didn't earn. It's a gift given to us that we don't deserve. We're not good enough. Grace is the gift that God the Father gave to you and I. None of us can brag. None of us can boast. We are not saved by our works. We're saved by the grace of God. Let me read you this scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Because we get this screwed up. We're not saved by works. We're saved, and then we begin to work for God and produce fruit. For Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. It's not a result of your works or your righteousness or your great deeds, so that no one can boast. We are saved by grace. Come on, somebody. Thank God for the grace of God. Can I tell you what the grace of God does? The grace of God brings equality to the body of Christ. Because some of us go, well, I can never do what the preacher does. I can never be as good as her. I can never be as good as him. Listen, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter what kind of family you came from. It doesn't matter what kind of righteous works you have. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we cannot work our way to God. We can only accept grace through faith. And for those of you that are like me, you scumbags, who messed it up, screwed around, got drunk, wasted it all, did all the things wrong. Can I tell you, you have not done enough things wrong. You have not sinned so much that the grace of God cannot reach you where you are. The grace of God can save the most righteous, and the grace of God saves the vilest of sinners, and it brings us all together, and we're all equal in the body of Christ. The grace of God saves us. And if we have been saved, can I just ask you a question? Anybody in this place saved today? Yeah, no, I mean like anybody in this place saved today. Yeah. Like the new Church of Christ folk got to get excited about salvation sometimes. Like I know where I've been and I know what I've done and I know what I've been forgiven of, and all you got to do is remind me of the grace that God has given unto me, and all you got to do is remind, and I will get excited and I'll shout till I ain't got no voice, because I'm thankful for the grace that God has given me that changed my life forever. And because God changed me, now I am motivated. Not out of duty, not out of religion. I am motivated to live my life with passion and give every waking moment and every bit of energy that I have got to produce fruit that glorifies him and points others to him. Everything, fruit production, is a byproduct of our salvation. Can I tell you, actually, we're talking about this fruit thing. Our salvation, our redemption, our forgiveness, it is a result of the fruit of God the Father. It's the grace because God the Father sent his son Jesus, who is the fruit of heaven. And because the fruit of heaven came down to the earth, we partook of the fruit of heaven. And now we are changed forever. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Because God the Father produced fruit and offered that fruit to you and I, we now have become saved. We have been adopted in the family of God, and we're partakers in the kingdom of God. And now it is our responsibility to imitate God the Father, to imitate God the Son, and to imitate the Holy Spirit. It's our responsibility and opportunity to produce fruit as well. Can I be real with y'all? 9 o'clock? 9:30, what service is this? I don't even know. I don't even care. But our churches are full of people that are producing no fruit. And I'm not asking you if you're saved, and I'm not making fun of you, and I'm not talking about you, but enough is enough in America. The problem in America is not the Democrats. The problem in America is not the Republicans. The problem in America is not the libertarians. It's not the government. The problem is America is a bunch of Christian people that show up at church, and they've got comfortable, and they say that I'm saved, and they sit right where they are and stay right where they are, and they produce no more fruit for the kingdom of God. If that offends you, there are 6 other churches in this town that you're welcome to attend next Sunday morning. But I'm telling you that because I love you. It's time we start producing fruit and quit becoming dry and crusty and playing some kind of religious game. It's our turn to produce fruit. John 15. You say, Cody, how do I produce fruit? Cody, I want to produce fruit. I want to be more. I want to give more. I want to do more. What do I do? Let's turn to the Word of God, because how many know the Word of God has the answers to life? John chapter 15, you can write it down, follow along on your phone, your Bible, whatever. John 15, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. John 15, 1, Jesus speaking here. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, you're the branches. I'm the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, God takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch, and it withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire, and they're burned. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. You will ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By producing fruit, by being plugged into the vine, by abiding in Jesus Christ, by producing fruit, God the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and this proves that you are my disciples. Such powerful stuff. I love this story. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Man, my mind goes to this deal. I know I'm simple-minded, and guess what? You're simple-minded or you wouldn't be coming to church here too. Just saying, okay? I'm the vine, you're the branches. When I think about this big, huge vine, you know what story comes to my mind? Jack and the Beanstalk. Just saying, it is what it is. I'm sorry. Like they take these 3 seeds and they throw them in the ground, and this vine grows from earth to the heaven up where it is. And so I'm thinking the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus buried in the ground, grows to the top. Now we can climb up the vine. It's this big, huge vine. And what makes the vine is that these sap and this nourishing juices that flow through the vine make the vine what the vine is. And you and I, the Bible says that we were wild olive branches. Can I hear a good amen? We were living our own life and doing our own thing. But when we had faith faith in Jesus Christ, it says that we're grafted into the vine, that we were wild, but now we're plugged into the vine. And here's the good news, the same sap and the same nourishing juices that make the vine, now flow out into Cody Cochran and make me what I am today. And so now the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead flows up and it flows out into my life and it flows out into your life. And not because I'm good and not because I'm smart, but baby, you let me get plugged into the vine and let the Holy Spirit come over me. I'm telling you what, I'll be the Holy Ghost kid. I'll preach the paint off the walls. I'll preach the devil back into hell. I'll preach the sinner into heaven. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me when I am plugged into the vine. And it's the same way for you. Stay plugged into the vine and it will flow out into your life. I love that. That's my goal, that's my goal, that's my goal, that's your goal. Just stay plugged in. How many of you know it's harder to stay plugged in than just saying, I'm staying plugged in? Because how many of you on Monday go like, I'm throwing the deuces, I'm out, I'm unplugging, I'm going back to my old life, I'm going to doing what I've always done. Just stay plugged in. That's how we produce fruit. I want us to look at this text and take a few moments. Some things we can gather and we can learn from this. The first point I want you to see is this. There's consequences for being a Christ follower and not producing fruit. There's consequences. It's not God's will that we just be believers. Our church is full of believers. We believe God. You ask them, 70% of America say, we believe God. Well, yeah, everybody. The Bible says even the demons believe God. But if you believe God and God has changed your life, let's start producing some fruit. Let's go from being a believer to a disciple, a follower, and a learner. There's consequences for not producing fruit. The scripture says if branch doesn't produce fruit, the vine dresser will cut it off. Throw it into a pile. See, nobody wants to preach that nowadays because we're afraid we'll offend somebody. We're afraid we'll make somebody feel bad. But I love you enough to tell you that if you stay plugged into the vine long enough, but you never grow and you never mature and you're not producing any fruit, I'm telling you, God's going to trim you back. It's consequences. You know what else? There's consequences to producing the same amount of fruit every year. How many know each year? We should be producing more fruit. God is a God of increase. God is a God of abundance. Every year and every season, we should be producing more. And if we're not producing more, you know what the Bible says God does? Prunes us. He trims us back as well. We're going to talk more about this over the next 6 weeks. We're talking about this series. But I want you to look at me right quick. Can I tell you something? For a lot of you, if you want to produce more fruit for the season you're in right now than you've ever done before, there's some things that have to be cut away from your life. There's some things you got to quit doing. There's some people you got to quit hanging around with. There's some stuff you got to quit watching. There's some habits you got to get rid of because you know what? God's going to prune us back so that next season we can raise more. Can I preach a little more to you? There are things in your life that God will come in and prune away from you. He'll just remove you from those people. But I'm going to tell you something. There are things that God is not going to cut away, but he is waiting on you to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and you have to cut them away yourself. And by cutting them away yourself, you have to let God know, I'm in this to win this thing. There's consequences to not producing fruit. Second thing is, if we want to produce fruit, we have to abide in Christ. We have to abide in him. We have to remain in Christ. We have to continue in Christ. We have to stay in Christ. You know what's wrong with the American church and wrong with the people that the Christ followers that don't produce fruit? We don't remain in Christ. We plug into Christ on Sunday mornings. Y'all don't leave me hanging on this one. Like, I love church. I'm a church guy. I've already talked about the power of corporate prayer. I've already talked about community. I've already talked about unity. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to go to the next level, you got to quit coming and plugging in to a pre-made Sunday service on Sunday and eating your little apple fritter and drinking your little coffee and praising to Conrad and shouting amen when Cody preaches. And then you disconnect and go back and live the same life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then you come dragging your rotten, wore-out butt back in on Sunday morning and plug in again. It's time, if you want to produce fruit, you got to abide on Sunday, but come Monday morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to start my prayer. And Friday when everybody else is going out, and Saturday when them old folk are acting a fool, you say, no, I'm staying plugged into Jesus Christ because I am going to abide in him. You got to abide in him. Abide in him stay plugged in. Sometimes for me, I have to remind myself hourly. Ain't plugged into my flesh right now. I'm not plugged into my anger right now. I'm not plugged into the, I'm abiding in you, Christ. Reminding yourself daily. It's a game changer. We got to abide in Christ. Third thing is this, fruit production. You and I producing fruit, it affects our prayer life. How many got some prayers you want to see answered? Watch what this says right here. Contrary to what you hear on all the Christian shows out there, God is not a sugar daddy that is going to give you everything you want, when you want, how you want it, simply because he is a God of love and you just get to demand it of God. If you and I want to see our prayers answered, we must abide in him and we must make him our Lord and not our sugar daddy. Some of us are praying, and we're praying not according to the will of God and not according to the word of God, but we're praying according to our will and according to our heart, and we're wondering why God is not answering us. If we want to get our prayers answered, we have to abide in Christ and pray the will of God. Because the will of God is better than our will. Let me just tell you, fruit production affects our prayers. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, Jesus said. My words will abide in you. And you will ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I love this. Because when we abide in Christ, it says this, his word will abide in our heart. How many know Christ is the word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word took upon flesh and came and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. If we abide in Christ and his word abides in us, how does the word of God abide in us? Look at me. Look. You want to grow and you want to produce fruit, you got to start reading the word of God. You got to stop with your lame excuses. You got to stop with I don't have enough time. You got to stop with the I don't understand. You got to stop. If you want to abide in Christ and if you want to produce fruit, you and I have got to read the word of God. The word of God is a game changer. The word of God is true. The word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. The word of God will destroy Satan in that moment, and it is readily available to you and I, and we got to get it inside of us. You know why we're getting our butts kicked and we're not getting our prayers answered? Because we don't have the word of God inside of our hearts. Because the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And we got to quit speaking the words of grandma. And we got to quit speaking the words of our denomination. And we got to quit speaking the words of our government. We got to get the word of God inside of us. Out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. And when you and I speak and when you and I pray the word of God, God hears those prayers and he answers those prayers. The word of God is powerful. You got to read the word of God if you want to produce fruit. Can I tell you something right quick? I got 3 minutes. I got to hurry. Something ticks me off. It does more than that, but I can't say what it really does to me up here. Jennifer, get on to me. People say, oh, you know, I'm not going to that church no more. I just ain't getting fed over at that church. Are you kidding me? How long are you going to suck a bottle and suck a pacifier and wear a diaper around, young little baby infant thing like this? If you want to grow up and you want to mature and you want to produce fruit and you want to be a disciple, it's not just the preacher's job to fill you with the word of God on Sunday, but you got to grow up and mature, and come Monday, you got to read the word of God. And Tuesday, you got to read the word of God. And Wednesday, you got to fill your heart and your life with the word of God. And out of that will flow the issues of life. The word, you got to read the word of God. Last thing is this, our fruit is what brings glory to God. Here's the question, you producing fruit. There's this scripture that Christians misquote all the time. And they go, you can't judge me. Don't you judge me. Who are you to judge me? Well, I can't judge your salvation because I don't know your relationship with the Lord. But you know what I can judge? I can judge the fruit that's being produced in your life, because the Bible says a tree is known by its fruit. Jennifer and I did a wedding last night down by Buffalo Gap, and when we went into this wedding venue, there's pear trees everywhere. You know how I know they're pear trees? Not because I'm a treeologist. I don't even know if that's a word or not, but I'm not a treologist. But the reason that I know that those trees are pear trees is because there's pears hanging all over them. There's figs there. You know why I know they're fig trees? Because there's figs hanging all over them. And I'm going to tell you what, it's time that we quit talking this little talk on Sunday morning and time that we quit playing a game, because everybody around you sees the real fruit that is produced in your life and the real fruit that's produced in my life, and a tree is known by its fruit. And if we want God to be glorified in our life, it's not about the moments that we can prophesy. It's not the moments that we can stand on stage, and it's not the videos that we post on Instagram. If we really want God to be glorified in our life, it'll be glorified in our marriage. It'll be glorified in our children. It'll be glorified in our church and everywhere we go. Because of the fruit. Conrad, come help me close, please, sir. Our fruit is what brings glory to God. Here's the bottom line. A Christ follower without fruit, it's like peach cobbler without peaches. It's dry and crusty. I'm a church guy, man. I love church. I really love church, and I've already shared that with you today. But you know what's sad? Like, I want to see churches flourish. Like, I'm a fan of all churches. I'm a fan of the Baptist church, the Church of Christ church, the Methodist church, all of them. I don't think they're doing it just right, but I'm fans of theirs. And I make fun of them, and guess what? It's okay, because they make fun of me too. I love church. I want to see every church growing. I wish every church in this town was full of people and full of excitement and full of passion. But the sad thing is I get to travel over this country and try to talk about planting churches and church health. You know what? There's more churches that are dying than there are that are alive right now. Churches that used to have 400-500 people coming to church there. Churches that had revival and great, they went down and just a handful of people. And you know what's happened? They've gotten dry and crusty. They're not producing any fruit. And rather than focusing on producing fruit, they'll say, well, that dadgum cowboy church down there, they're stealing all our parishioners. They're stealing all our sheep. They've accused me of being a sheep thief for years. And you know what I say to them? I'm not a sheep thief. We just grow grass. And if you starve them out over there, they'll crawl through the fence to come down here and get them something to eat. But rather than focusing, what do we do to produce fruit? What do we do to be an orchard? They'll blame this and they'll blame that, and they're still blaming COVID, and they're blaming our country, and they're blaming all this stuff. And the fact of the matter is, if we're not producing fruit, we got to quit blaming everybody else and say, what needs to be pruned in my life? And we say, God, if it needs to be cut away, because God, I'm tired of just being a stump, and I'm tired of being connected and disconnected. I'm tired of all of this. I want to be someone that is a disciple. I want to be a world changer, and I want to produce fruit for the glory of Almighty God. Don't get dry and crusty. The fruit of God gives us our salvation. Salvation should produce fruit. God is glorified when we produce fruit. When we glorify God and produce fruit for Him, God will always reward us. How many know that's the good part? I want to ask you to do something in closing today. I talked about the Word of God, and I talked about the power of prayer. And I want to ask you, if you're here today and you go, you know what, really, I really ain't been producing no fruit. Maybe you say, I haven't been producing enough fruit. But if the Lord has challenged you today, I want to ask you to stand up on your feet as we close this service, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray scripture over you. I'm going to pray the Word of God. I'm going to pray it over you and over me, because I believe there's power. I believe there's a shift where we start growing and blossoming and producing fruit. So feel free to stand if you want to stand. You don't have to. Father, we love you, and I thank you for the men and women and the young people in this room. Lord, I thank you for the men and women that I've been able to go up to their life when I was struggling and when I was hurting, and I've been able to partake the fruit of joy and partake the fruit of peace. Lord, I thank you for the men and women that you've placed in my life. I am better because of them. I'm better because of the first fruit of Jesus. Lord, I pray for the men and women in this room. I pray according to the scripture, according to Psalm number 1. Blessed are the men and women in this room who walk not in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. Blessed are the men and women in this room who delight in the law of the Lord. Lord, I pray that we would have a desire to read your word. I pray that we would have a hunger inside of our hearts and our spirits to read the Word of God and to study your law and to know what your commandments
say, Lord, and that day and night we would meditate on your word. Lord, I pray that when we do that, when we begin to seek you and when we begin to desire you, we don't stand in the way of the sinner. We don't sit in the seat of the scorner. And when we delight in your word and we begin to read and partake of your word, Lord, I declare according to the scripture that we will be like trees that are planted by rivers of living water. We're not shifting. We're not swayed. We are standing. We are strong with our foundation on Jesus Christ. And our trees would yield their fruit in season, that nothing would come against our crops, that nothing would come against our fruit, and that our leaf would not wither, and that everything that we would do would begin to prosper, Lord. Lord, I pray according to Psalms 107 that we would sow fields and we would plant vineyards, and that, Lord, we would get a fruitful yield, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would open up the womb of the women in this place that are ready to produce the fruit of the womb, for women that are ready to have children and are struggling with it. God, we speak and we declare that you would open up that womb and the fruit of the womb would be produced, and young children and young sons and young daughters, that we would be families that raise up young kids, Lord, that as we sow and we plant, we would be fruitful. And I pray, God, that your blessings would multiply and that our leaf wouldn't wither and that our livestock would not diminish. Lord, I pray according to Psalm 128 that your wife would be like a fruitful vine within your house. Lord, I pray for the wives in this place. I pray, Lord, that the wives would be encouraged, that the wives would be fruitful vines, that the wives would know that everything that they do, it's not in vain. It's not just a chore. And the patience and the grace and the work and the laundry and the cooking and the cleaning and everything they do, it's not just a chore. But they're being fruitful vines. And God, you're anointing that and you're using that. Raise up young women that would be fruitful vines, that would be fruitful wives, that would produce young children. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, according to the scripture, that our children would be like olive shoots around our table. Families, fathers leading families, wives being fruitful vines, and olive, the children around that table, God, rising up and producing fruit like they've never produced before. Lord, I pray, according to Ezekiel 34, that all the trees of the field, that everyone in the sound of my voice would yield their fruit, and that they would increase in their fruit, and they would be secure in the land, that we will not be shaken, that we are founded, we are rooted in Jesus Christ, and that we would all know that the Lord is God, and he would break the yokes of deliverance. Lord, I finally pray Zechariah 8:12, that there would be a sowing of peace. God, we thank you for your peace. Our world is in turmoil. Our world is full of chaos. Everything seems to be crumbling around us, but Lord, as we delight in you, as we're like trees planted by living water, as we abide in you and your word abides in us, I pray that there would be a great sowing of peace. I speak peace into the lives of every person in this room, and in the middle of chaos and in the middle of peace, the vine would give its fruit, and the ground would give its produce, and the heavens would open up and pour out their dew. And I declare that, God, you will cause a remnant of people to be fruit producers, and a remnant of people that would go and possess the land. Lord, let us be that people. Lord, let us have that desire. Lord, start something anew in us today that the devil can't stop. Lord, do what you do. Let us be motivated to produce fruit that blesses others and brings glory to your name. Do it, oh God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord some love. Let's close with the worship.